Hello. Hope you guys are having a good weekend. Hope everything's going well. If not, you can send me a message through my website, and I can place you on my prayer list, life can get messy, but I hope everybody's out there is having a good weekend. I know if you look at the news, there's been a lot of rainfall, especially over in East Texas, and they're really suffering. So we need to be in prayer for them over there. In some parts of Louisiana, we were blessed not to be affected by the flooding down here in Leesville, and that's thank God for that. But there are many out there that are their homes flooded, the car, their vehicles, and they're really hurting. We just need to be in prayer for those people in their time of need. I was thinking about what to talk about or preach on today, and the Lord kept bringing me to these sets of scriptures for a reason. I'm just a humble vessel, and a specific question started popping in my head. What I first like to do is read the scriptures. Today we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And that is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. As you guys bow with me, we have this time in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You today. We lay ourselves at Your feet. We thank You for Your mercy and grace that You provide every day. Lord, I pray, Lord, that if anybody's listening, they're going through something in their life, a storm that has them rattled, that has them shaken, Lord. It could be depression. It could be suicide thoughts. It could be a marriage that is on the brink of divorce. Lord, we just lay these at Your feet, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You be with them in their time of need, Lord. You guide and direct their steps. I pray if there's anybody here that hasn't accepted You into their heart, Lord, I pray, Lord, that the Scriptures, that they open their Bible and they read the Scriptures. Only they can believe, truly open their heart to You, Lord. I can't do nothing of myself. I'm just a humble messenger. I pray, Lord, You be where the people that are suffering from all this rainfall, Lord. We pray that You be in their time of need, that You provide the people around them to provide hope and lift them up in their despair. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. Our scripture reading today was 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And of course, we know Paul wrote this. And I like to, and in a nutshell, he's speaking of the gospel. But, you know, I preached on the gospel, and you can, it's several of my sermons that on salvation and recordedness, and on other recordings. I encourage you guys to check those out. Well, you know, the one question that kept popping into my head and, is if we die tonight, today, where would you, where would I, we, where will we spend the next life? You know, I one of the things that growing up in a Christian household and pretty strict one, I question if I was ever truly a child of God, if I was really a son of the Most High. And you see, the devil uses a tactic to make you doubt you're being a son or being a daughter. That doubt can lead you down to a road of I know it did for me, is like I doubted, I didn't feel worthy, so I went off and did my own thing for many years. Drugs and sex. A dark hole I pretty much dug for myself. And it all started with doubt. And more specifically, the doubt of if I was even a child of God. And in my upbringing, and they really never clarify or explain to me what salvation was, what's the gospel. As a kid, I read my Bible a lot. I read the scriptures and fully didn't understand it. But I gave my heart to God fully when I was young. But there was no mentor around me to really guide and direct my steps in securing where I would say 100% I am saved, I am a child of God. And what I really want to do today is kind of expound on that. And the specific question, if we, today was our last day, and we're, our days are numbered. James tells us our life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And we all are going to spend, when we die, we're going to spend our eternity somewhere. That would be heaven, or that would be hell, which is a horrible place. For us to go to. So, I want you to kind of think on that question. If you die tonight, can you say 100% that you are a child of God? And that when you close your eyes and you open them, you see God, and God's looking at you and he's saying, what do you want him to say to you? You want him to say, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into heaven, eternal bliss. Or do you want to hear him say, I never knew you, my child. or I don't know, never, at that point you're not really his child, so I never knew you, because you're a child of Satan, and you, he banishes you to a place, because he didn't do that to you. He just, a lot of times, he honors your requests. Because if we look around us, he's trying to reach us. He's trying to reach people that are lost. And that he don't want nobody to perish and go to hell. It was not designed for his creation. And he don't want, but a lot of people choose to go. And what I want to say today, it's a choice to be a child of God. And we should at no point have any doubt that we're a child of God. What Paul is saying here in the scriptures, he's saying, I preach. If you look at verse 1, he said, I preach unto you, which is also received, and he's talking about the Corinthians here, and within ye stand, and of course it was other involved, if other churches involved too, but, and he said, but ye also ye have saved, in verse 2, if ye keep in memory that I preach unto you, basically, do you remember what I preach to you? Keep in memory. We go to verse 3, for I deliver unto you first all things that I also received, how that Christ, he speaks of the death. When we look at the death of Christ on the cross, and what happened that day is just horrible. The scourging, I spoke on this several times, but, you know, the scourging, which is, it was used by the Romans, they had a, they call it a cat of nine tails. It was a handle that had leather straps on it, and the stripes, the straps would have shards of glass, bones. It was meant to, when they slung the whoop into a person, it was designed to rip the flesh off that person. It was supposed to hook and rip, and they. And when, if you look at the accounts and the historical accounts of this, well, it was torture. Many people died just from that because of the blood loss. Some people were disemboweled, meaning their intestines was ripped out of their stomach because they would turn. So Jesus had to endure that. If that wasn't enough, he was led up a hill with a cross on his back. And this cross is where he hung. They entered two nails, one in his right hand, one in his left hand. Or some would say wrist, but if you look at the Romans definition, the hand, what they would consider the hand was all the way down to the wrist. So I would say it would probably be more accurate that it was in the wrist. And then put both his feet together and drove another nail into him, his feet, and then raised them up. Where he would be up there and he would be in so much agony and pain. The blood that he already lost and the pain that he was suffering was unbearable. And when we look at that, he was not guilty of anything. He didn't do nothing to merit that death. And if you look at verse 3, it said Christ died for our sins, not his sins, our sins. And he says, according to the scriptures, and he's referring back to the Old Testament. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. He had to come. You go back to the Garden of Eden, and you have Adam and Eve, and they ate of a fruit of a tree that they were not supposed to eat of. And when they did that, a curse was implemented on this world. And that's why we live in this world that's filled with pain and suffering. And God didn't do it. You know, a lot of people say, why are there kids starving in Africa? It's because of us. God had nothing to do with it. He's correcting it. And one part of that correction was Jesus Christ, His Son, His only Son, to die for our sins. Our sins, not His sins. And Paul said, according to the scriptures, if you study the Old Testament, there's a ton of scriptures that point to Christ. And if we look at verse 4 here, he said, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. They took Him from the cross. He was dead. And then they put Him into a tomb where He laid for 3 days. And then that third day, He rose. And He was seen by many. Fully restored. Of course, He had His nail scar hands or wrists and His feet. Of course, the pierced side as a reminder. And then he was with the disciples for 40 days, 40 nights. And then we look at the beginning of Acts. He is going up to heaven, and the disciples are looking, and the angels said, well, look, you know, basically He's leaving. He's going to leave what we call the Comforter. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will reside in each and every one of His children when we accept, believe, and confess. Our sins. That is the good news. That is the gospel. Mark 1:15 tells us, repent and believe in the good news. It's the best news ever. That we can come to Jesus, and we can lay everything at the foot of the cross. And we can say, I believe exactly what You did for me. I believe that You died for my sins. And I believe You rose from the grave. And because of that, I believe the Holy Spirit You left for us. And that accepting and believing, confessing truly, you let the Holy Spirit take over your life. You surrender your life to Jesus. Romans 10:9, Paul's just kind of here. He said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You have a renewal. The old is past and the new is come. Meaning you are a new creature in Jesus. And once you're new, now this is where it gets, you know, a lot of people drop salvation at this point. They really drop the ball, right? They don't go far enough. Once you have believed, accept, and confess, and truly have, and you are new, what we call regeneration, the old stuff in your life is no more appealing to you. I want to tell you today, there's many out there that confess, that profess Jesus. But they hold on to their old life. You couldn't tell them the difference. We literally, the Bible tells us we have to be a light. It tells us we have to be separate from this world. Problem is, we have many out there professing Christians that are not. They blend in. I'm going to tell you. And this ain't Jonathan's words. It's all scripture. Jesus tells us you can't serve two masters. You will love the one and hate the other. He tells us to be separate from this world. If we're of this world, he tells us, you're not my children. You're not my child. If you're out there and you're blending into the opposite, you're supposed to be a light up on a hill. And you attract people with a light. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you're living a life that is reflective of this world, the scripture tells us you're not a child of God and you are a child of Satan. And I speak this out of love, because the devil is a deceiver, and he has many people deceived today, thinking they are a child of God. When you're a child of God, you cannot do the things of this world without being grieved. If you can go out there and you can cuss, you can do all this other things, and you're okay with it, you're not grieved, you think it's funny, I'm going to tell you, you're a part of that crowd. The Bible tells us very clear that many are called, few are chosen. He also tells us in scriptures where it says, now I'm paraphrase, narrow is the way, but the wide way many will follow, and it leads to destruction. Why are you thinking he's talking about here? These are scriptures that Jesus gave us, a warning, and I'm warning whoever's listening today, and I'm warning the church today, that we have a bunch of people in our churches that are not saved, according to what Jesus says. When they walk out of those doors, they drop their Christianity right there. You couldn't tell a difference in them at Walmart, whatever store, you couldn't tell the difference. And I'm telling you, if we can't tell the difference, God knows. Yeah, I'm sending a warning out to whoever's listening to this. If you're doing the old things, you're blending into this world. You're not a child of God. And that's not my opinion. That is straight from the Word of God. You can get mad as much as you want. I'd rather you be mad at me and start searching the scriptures, trying to prove me wrong. And I have my website. I have comments there. You can search the scripture. You can hit me up. You can send me a message. And we can talk about this in more details. But when I study my Bible and when I look at the scriptures, when we're blending into this world and we're not being the light bearers that God has called us to be, and we're not grieved, I'm telling you, if you are a child of God, you are on fire. You want to go to church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You wish church was every day. You wish there was a Bible study every day. You have a hunger for God. You're sitting there, Sunday's around. Oh, I guess I have to do my, or don't go to church. That's even worse. At least if you go to church, maybe you'll accept Jesus into your life. Good place to be. I want to tell you, majority of our churches, if you look at the vast, maybe 1-2% in the congregation are truly saved, truly a child of God. Because to be a child of God is to have a fire in your loins. To want to pronounce the gospel to whoever that will listen. Trust me, brothers and sisters. If you pray for the opportunity to share the gospel, He will provide an opportunity. You don't have to shove it down nobody's throat. He will bring somebody to you. Problem is, we don't want that. We don't want the true Jesus in our life. We want heaven, right? And that's the thing. If you have doubts, when you close your eyes and you don't open them up, don't have no doubts. The scriptures are really clear. You can go through the New Testament in a few weeks or a month and highlight scripture after scripture after scripture, pointing what you're supposed to be, a child of light, not a child of darkness. You can look that up. Was a child of light, what, and it'll go to all kind of scriptures pointing to how, first, how to become a child of God. Truly, I'm telling you today, many people take the grace of God and the mercy of God and they smear it. They use it as a license to sin. And many church members today will say, no, we don't use it. You know what? I don't believe that. You can probably lie to. Yeah, you probably will lie to me. But you know what? God sees it. And the problem is, He's going to see that and He will judge you for that. He will, one day we all will die and we will have judgment on our life. And when we're judged, He's going to make that right, holy, just judgment on your life. And that will determine if you're entering to heaven or if you're going to spend your life in hell. And my heart's grieved that many will spend their life in hell. But I'm going to proclaim the gospel until the end. If you die today, tonight, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? As you guys bow with me today, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to You just thanking You for Your salvation, Your that gift that You have given us if we truly just accept it. And that we accept it and we accept the responsibilities of what it means to be regenerated, to live a life separate from this world. And to be that light that other people are attracted to. The lost is attracted to that. There's something up with that person. I want what he got. Versus that supposedly child of God saying, I want what that darkness, that child of Satan has. We can't serve two masters. We know that. We know that the fruit of the Holy Spirit should be manifest every day in our lives. We pray that when the Holy Spirit enters our hearts, that we know and He corrects us. If we lack that correction, we do not have the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we are not a child of God. Today, I pray that if anybody's out there listening to this and they're playing loose with the gospel, that they stop. Because this ain't a game. Our time is drawing near. And You're coming soon. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh.